Thank you, Brother Jim, for those kind words and for that request, because I do need an extra special blessing of the Lord this evening, because even as of now, He hasn't placed on my heart and my mind a subject that He wants you to hear this evening, or me to hear. I have been much involved in various kinds of research of the scriptures in the latter days, in the last few months, especially, although it's been pretty much a lifetime undertaking, as any minister called of the Lord knows, is an absolute must in our lives. We must put study and research first. There are many things that have come to my mind, and yet the Lord has not fully settled my thoughts upon any of those several items. But one that has been much upon my mind has been the fulfilling of the prophecy of this, our day. I hope that for your sake and for mine, that as we begin with the 22nd chapter of Revelations, and beginning with the 6th verse, that it will lead us into those things which the Lord would have us to bring to you this evening. And He said unto me, this is the angel that was speaking to John. And He said unto me, these things, sayings, are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show unto His servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, and these are the Lord's words, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophet, a prophecy of this book. And then John continues, and I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down and worshipped before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren of the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And we see the unjust throughout the world. We see them throughout this nation. I hope we do not see them within the church. And yet, there is no exemption there either. And going on, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be holy still. Or righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, and again Christ's words, and behold again, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be, according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And then going on to John. Blessed are they that do this commandment. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gate into the city. And I'd like to pause here for a moment and refer back to Lehi's vision and Nephi's, for that is what this last verse that I read is speaking of, the tree of life. In both of their visions, they saw this tree of life, which tree was delightful to partake of, was delicious, was desirable, was righteous, was good. And yet, only Lehi and his wife and Nephi and Samuel partook of that fruit. Laman and Lemuel refused and walked away. And as a result, their descendants and even their immediate families suffered the consequences of those denials and refusals. They did not take hold of that rod of iron, which was also shown to them, that led to that tree. Through the blindness and the darkness of the days through which they would have to travel in order to reach that tree and its fruit. Also, as a result, they were at continual war with Lehi, his mother, their mother, and his two younger brothers, even before they departed on their migration to this, the promised land. They even threatened to kill all four of those. And had it not been for the exceedingly strong and honest prayer of Nephi, they would have not been able to, or he would not have been able to entice the Holy Spirit to move upon his brothers and their friends and companions to release them from that terrible affliction they were under in the midst of that great storm, and bring them to this land where the Lord, in spite of the many ups and downs, repeating of history, their history, of turning away from the Lord, and eventually, after a great trial through which they could not themselves overcome, they turned to the Lord and sought him, and he was merciful to them, even down to this very day. But not only is this true of the seed of Lehi, it is true of us Gentiles also. We have turned from God. We have returned to him time after time. But we are in that last day in which those who are evil and wicked and filthy shall be filthy still. Their day of salvation, apparently from these words, have come to an end. We look abroad about us in this nation and in the world, and we see all kinds, both what might be termed natural and those that could be termed human. Instigation or performance. We see the economy has literally destroyed itself because of greed and unrighteousness. There's no other cause for it. There's no other reason for it. God has said in several places in both scriptures that when we turn our backs upon him, he will turn his back upon us. And while I do not feel to point out as any greater evil by our most recent recipient of what I believe is God's judgment, again, Colorado, especially Denver, in which, you know, I lived through the 20s. I lived through the 30s as a young boy. And my parents strove with all their might to provide even the meagerest diet for us. Four boys, strapping young boys, and a little sister. And I shudder with the knowledge, not just the supposition, but the knowledge in studying the scriptures, that those days will be, we will look back at them with a longing that, that they, our days would again be as they were in the 20s and the 30s, the 1920s and 30s. Because that is what we will look to, what we will hope for, but it won't be there. What will be there, I believe, is as it was in the days of Moses and the children of Israel, as he brought them or led them. He didn't bring them, God brought them, but he was chosen to lead them out of Israel. And for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness of the Sinai Peninsula, a desert land, almost no vegetation, very little, only in spots. But because of God's promise to them, he provided for them. One of the things, and I read that account, is he didn't only feed them. They got tired of one kind of nourishment. Got where they didn't like manna, they hated it. So he sent them birds. They got tired of that, and he sent them something else. But also through all those years, their clothing didn't wear out. They didn't get soiled. They didn't get the snags that we see so many of our young people in, some not so young, liking on their Levi's. They like to see the worn spots, and some of them get horribly large. That didn't happen to them. Their clothing remained intact, whole, and adequate for them. He will do that again for those who will rely upon him. Oh, again, we hear cry of stockpile this, stockpile that, stockpile everything else. And I don't believe in wasting things. I never have. Come over and see my house. Well, you know I don't throw away a whole lot of things. But most of it is literature, books, research. But some of it is things that I could probably, I could give to Goodwill. They could get some good use out of it. But I'm trying to lose weight, and I've lost weight. I'm not going to boast about how much. And I'm beginning to get some of those older clothes to fit again. And so maybe it was smart to save them, especially when you have the tendency that I had as I retired and from a very active life and a very large appetite to one of virtually no activity and still that huge appetite. And fortunately, the Lord has blessed me in taking off a good chunk of my weight unneeded. Got two belts that I've come right down to the last notch. Can't get them any tighter, but I need to. So I've got to get a punch and punch some more holes. But this is beside the point. The righteousness is the thing I want to emphasize this evening. Not the concern about, well, what am I going to eat when these things come? What am I going to have for shelter over my head when winter comes? Snow, very likely more than we've seen in quite a number of years, will hit us this year. How are we going to get across it, over it, through it, to those that are still employed to their work, to their jobs? How are we going to get to church to meet together, as we have been called to do many times? You know, as I look back to those 20s and 30s, I remember a man and his family who lived up north, I believe it was in Camdenton. And he worked for the railroad. And he had a very serious accident on the railroad. He couldn't work. He was crippled. We lived over here on what is it's almost obliterated now, Delaware, that runs, tees into 23rd Street, there at the old Alton School. And we walked up from there. We didn't know an automobile. And, but this family, mother and father, I think it was four boys and one very young little toddling girl, walked from way out on Gudgel. Those of you that know the town, it's a good 5 or 6 miles from here. They walked it, and I see that young lady smiling. Get me down. I see her brother sitting here in front of him, and another one sitting back. Family very much the same as ours. My father was a full-time missionary in the field as an apostle, and this relatively young man and his family was about the same age, about the same number. about the same sexual distribution among it. Just one girl. But you know, they're here tonight. I hope they're here. Well, I know they're here to hear the gospel. I just hope that they do hear from me, through me, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And of course, their grandsons and great-grandsons and great-grandchildren, I should say. Some of them were here this morning. Some of mine were here this morning. They would be this evening, they say, if they didn't have to get up too early in the morning and go to work. Well, that's true of many that were here this morning. But I want to go on now with this 22nd Revelation. And I'm going to pick up again with the 14th verse. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. Right is something that you earn, something that you are entitled to. Right to the tree of life. And many enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth to make a lie. You know, probably don't have to walk too many feet outside these doors. But what you will find, just such people, with just such determination and only desire, is to steal, to lie, to find whoremongers, be whores, and those things. Going on with the 16th verse. I, Jesus, have sent mine angels to testify unto you these things in the churches. And this is one of them. This is one of them. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. You know, the scripture that tells us that once Lucifer had that privilege, but he lost it because he turned from God. Going on. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come, and let him take the water of life freely. Now, he's not speaking of the water that flows down the streams of the rivers. He's speaking of the water of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The thing that really quenches our thirst. He says in another passage that he who drinks of this water shall never thirst again. And that's the water he's speaking of here. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto this thing, unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." You know, that includes you and me. If we add to what is in these two books, or if we take from them and don't teach them, we are in the same category. Those plagues will be added that are written in the book. Going on. "And if any man shall take away," and this is what I just said, "from the words of this book, take away the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life." In other words, you're going to be cast into that great lake of fire and brimstone with Satan at the last day, after you have stood before the judgment bar of Christ's Father and the everlasting decision and judgment will be made. Going on. "God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in his book. He which testifieth these things saith," and that's Christ, "surely I come quickly." Amen. "Even so come, Lord Jesus." The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with you. Amen. Again, that last amen was from John. Let us, I pray, hope, remember these things that the Lord has brought to my mind and reminded me, not just today, not just this week, but for as long as the Lord gives us breath and our heartbeats, let us not forget a single one of them. Put everything else aside. Cast it out. No ambition is worth sacrificing these promises. May God bless you. It's just my prayer.